Rob Parr,
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Homemade Broadcast, episode 488. My name is Will Kuntz, live on Twitter, YouTube, and the HMB Radio Facebook page on my Twitter over there. I'm going to try out Elon's thing. We have joining us, as always, my friend and yours. Let me unmute your mic if I can. It's not letting me for some reason. Anna Hummel.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Fantastic.
You look great.
Never better.
Feeling good. Looking good.
Thank you. Not feeling great, but you know, it be what it be. We're fine. We're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, welcome back. It's good to be back. Took a week off last week because I was in school, and that was a big challenge for me, but I managed to get through it. I passed my class and I passed my state exam. So I,
fantastic.
Man, it feels really good, but it was, I was making myself sick over this whole thing. I decided to just go get a certification license for, not really for my day job, but maybe to help me potentially benefit in the future. If, you know, just in case, something to slip in my back pocket and make myself more, I don't know, hopefully more
useful.
Yeah. What, I don't think it is, but I just wanted to challenge myself and get this thing because I've talked to people who kind of work in the field that I work in during the day, and they said it might be beneficial to me. So
how much was it? Can I ask?
It was, I had to make an investment in myself. I would say as far as the class, are you talking about just the class or
I'm
the everything?
The whole shebang.
Probably about 500.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a lot for something that it's probably not going to benefit me initially for a period of time, but you know, I don't know what the future is going to hold. I looking for other day jobs and stuff. So hopefully it helps. And I made myself sick over the weekend. I had to do class 3 days last week, all day, 10-hour days. And then a Saturday class too, which that was just
online or at a place?
Online. I decided to take it online, which made me nervous because I remembered back to my college days where I used to take online classes and I used to not do very well in those because I had a tough time paying attention. But I had a tough time paying attention in this one too. It didn't seem to affect me though. I still got the grade I needed. And then the state exam is a whole other thing because you had to actually go to a testing center and you had to take everything out of your pockets and put, you couldn't bring a hat in, you couldn't bring water in. Like it was just you. So I had to go to an actual center where people watched you take this test and proctored it. And, it was an experience. It's amazing. Like I'm talking about lately, myself and many other people, how nobody is qualified to do anything anymore all of a sudden. And it seemed to happen right when COVID kind of ended. It seemed like things were kind of cooking up until a certain point. I mean, even like fast food restaurants and, you know, it maybe wasn't top notch, but it was efficient to a certain degree for the most part. Now nobody knows what they're doing. I'm concerned about the people who are working at certain places, and this testing center was, I mean, no different. I walked in, they made me take everything out of my pockets, like I said, and this test was two parts. And it was, you just sat in front of an old computer, and my strategy was, as if I knew the answer to this test, I would answer it. If I knew the answer, but was like, it might be, could be potentially, if I was wavering at all.
Sorry, it was all multiple choice.
All multiple choice. Yeah. So if it was...
Now, when you say you know an answer, does that mean when you read the question, you have the answer in your head and you look for it? Like, because that's truly knowing the answer versus like, not sure, but then you see the answer and you're like, I know it's that. And then there's the beautiful process of elimination where you go, well, I know it's not these.
Yeah.
So it must be this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what percentage it was where I actually knew it, or if it was the elimination, or I'm not exactly sure. I would say a good amount I actually knew, and then some of them I kind of pieced together. But if I was unsure and I had to piece it together, what I would do is mark it and then move on to another one. And then you could come back. My theory was I could come back and then do the process of elimination and whatever. And it was working really good. And then all of a sudden this test goes, a screen pops up and it says, do you want to move on? If you have, you know, what do you want to do here? Because you're moving on to part two. Now I'm going, okay, so if I move on to part two, can I come back at the end and go back? And because I had like seven that weren't marked yet. So I wanted to make sure. So they give you a little sign, a yellow sign, and you put it up and it says help on it. And so I put the help sign up and I'm standing there. Nobody's coming over. Nobody's really.
Is it a time test?
Yes, it's a time test. So that's another thing. I don't want to exaggerate.
My anxiety's already getting higher right now just hearing this story.
Yeah, I don't want to exaggerate, but it was probably 2 minutes before I started
that's
doing this.
A long time of being like, bitch.
It's a percentage. It's a time percentage of like it's measurable. Like it's like 1.5% or something of my time waiting for these people to come over. And finally, this dude came over and he goes, yeah, what's up? And I'm like, hey, I just want to make sure that I can come back. There's like seven that I didn't answer. And I want to make sure I can come back and, you know, answer those after I take part two. Do you know if I can do that? And he goes, no, I don't know. And I went, okay, well, can we find out? And he goes, oh, yeah. Let's see. Try this. And then he started like messing. I'm like, oh, God, don't push any buttons. That's going to get me to advance on this screen or something. Like, what are you doing? And he's like, try that. I'm like, can we just find out if this is going to work? Like, I'm trying not to be rude. And I understand where we're at right now in the country and in the world. But time's a ticking, man. So he goes, hold on a second. Hold on. So then he brings over this lady. I asked the lady the same thing. I go, told her what happened, and she's looking at me and acknowledging it. And she's like, I don't know.
They're really just there to make sure you're not cheating.
That's it. That's the only
thing.
So at
that point, like, but I would just go back into the questions, yeah, right?
But I'm thinking, like, has this never come up? Like, does nobody ever had this issue?
Well,
I can't believe
you
that.
You gotta think that they're probably doing all sorts of different types of tests, like GRE, LSAT. I don't know. You know, everything under the sun is probably in that center, and all they're instructed to do is just make sure that no one's talking, no one's cheating.
Yeah. Well, I can't believe, and I mean, there's dozens of tests probably administered every day at these locations. I cannot believe that I'm the first person to ever have this question, but it would appear, at least with this current staff, that I was. So I asked her again. I go, okay, well, can we find out what I can do here? So she finally goes, hold on. And then she leaves and comes back within a minute or so with a piece of paper. And it says, once you move on to the second part, you can't go back. Perfect. Thank you. That's all I needed. So this probably ate up 5 minutes of my time. It was 2 hours, and I didn't need that much. But thank God I didn't need that much. Because you couldn't even get up to go to the bathroom. If you went to the bathroom, that counted against your time. So I made sure I went and, like, was...
Against your time?
Yeah, like, if you...
Oh, okay. It's not like you go to the bathroom and then you can't come back in. It's like...
They'll pause the test
into your okay,
but I'm pretty sure it counted against your test time.
No
whatever
doubt.
Time
it's
you took,
like you got 2 hours, 2 to 4. Like you gotta. Doesn't matter if you go to the bathroom or whatever.
So I went back, answered the questions, finished up the test, and was like, you know, when do I get my results? And she goes, oh, here you go. I got them right here. I was sweating. It's just sweat pouring down. And then I got a 91%.
Good job. That's awesome. What is passing?
70%.
Okay. So whether you get 70 or 100% doesn't matter as long as it's pass fail. Okay.
Correct. Correct. So, that was really cool. I was really proud of myself because I just didn't know.
91 is a friggin' A. So yeah. That's good.
Yeah. I was really impressed with myself that I was able to do. Cause I brought back, it was like Vietnam flashbacks of college and being in there and just not wanting to be there, not really passionate about the subject matter, not caring at all. It's not that I didn't care. I cared about doing well and I wanted to not waste my money. That was really important. So, you know, passing that thing the first time. And I've also talked to other people who have taken this test and they're like, yeah, I didn't pass the first time. It took me three times or whatever. I'm like, oh, I can't. It's like my personality type. I can focus and multitask on certain things, but there's always going to be one thing if it's big in the front of my mind that I won't be able to not think about. It was like as soon as I woke up from sleeping that week, that test was for and like running things that I know I needed to know like immediately as soon as I woke up. So I don't want to do that. And I was really happy to just be, you know, finished with it. And then I don't think I'll ever have to take that test again or, you know, hopefully not. Anyways, I heard that you did in a few years. I hope that's not true. But yeah, it was good. So sorry about not being here last week, but I just needed to concentrate on that. But it's good to be back. How'd you spend your week off? I mean, from this show, anyways, you had to work and stuff, I'm sure.
What did I do? Anything out of the ordinary? No. Went out Saturday night.
Went out.
Didn't have a drop of alcohol.
That's terrible.
Ironically, was the move because, and we got to talk about it because it's the best ever. A fellow radio personality, really the flagship personality of Wild 94.1, I almost said the beat, but it's an urban station, Orlando Davis. Yeah, he was driving drunk. And it's one thing, Will, to be driving drunk and you get pulled over, maybe you're swerving, maybe whatever. Some cop sees you go by, you're doing something a little bit odd, they pull you over, you're drunk, you go to jail. Okay, not great, not great. But it's another thing to run a red and smash into somebody's car while they're in it and then have to go to jail. Me and my coworkers we're pretty obsessed with this story. We really want to get the inside scoop because this is the perfect distance of interest is what I call it. You know, any closer to home would be uncomfortably hot. Mm. You know, it's kind of like the Three Bears, the porridge deal. This is just right. Anything too close to home is too hot. It's not fun. It's too stressful. Like, for example, if you make a tweet and it goes poorly, something like that, and you have a PR crisis. But then too far away, you're just uninterested. It's a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. Who cares? But this is just a very comfortable amount of heat where you have interest, but you don't have any stress. And that's the best, right? So, you know, between me and Bubba the Love Sponge, we have some people that we know that work at Beasley and at the station. And so we've been prying. You know, I'll never be in the CIA for many reasons. But I do love intel. And if I can't get intel on other governments, then I'd like to get it about other stations. So that's what we've been working on for the last couple of days. Just trying to get a grasp of, you know, are they live? Are they not? Because it's hard to tell when, you know, you don't have a lifestyle or all talk format where it's really hard to tell if, you know, confessions at 7 is one you've heard before or not. You know, it's not really anything that's time sensitive. So we've been trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together to determine whether or not they've even been on air. Mm, will they be on air? Will they be getting rid of Orlando? I don't know, but it is certainly fun to watch other people squirm, and even better the fact that, you know, Bubba has some ill will towards this guy because of, you know, past indiscretions.
Who doesn't he have ill will with? What people?
You see the face I'm making.
Who doesn't? So, he hates everybody. Everybody's wronged him. Yeah.
No problem.
I got you.
So, it just makes it more fun because you're more invested in what's going on. And, you know, it's in the business, the industry. But what was just so ironic about it is I went out on Saturday night. I'm not going to lie, Will. I really didn't want to go at all. Like more than, you know, not, I would rather go to the, I have more fun at the dentist than thinking about going to downtown St. Petersburg, dancing, getting smashed in between people at a club, at a bar where I'm not even drinking. Like, but I had told myself that I said I was going to be there. And, you know, these girls at, you know, the jiu-jitsu gym I belong to have invited me to at least 15 different events, going out, you know, fun nights, girls' night out. And I've declined all of them. I've made excuses. I've had my period 17 times in 1 month, like just whatever, just to get me out of it. I said I was going to be there. So I was like, I got to go. And when I got downtown, I go, okay, we're not going to drink because one drink is a waste. Two drink is fun, but that makes me want to get drunk. If I have finished my second drink, I'm like, I'm on it. I want to start drinking. And then at that point, it's not safe for me to drive home. Not necessarily that I couldn't handle it, but if I get pulled over, I have a sneaking suspicion I would blow over 0.08. So I said, literally said to a girl at the bar that I was, you know, one of the girls there, she goes, are you drinking tonight? I go, no. And she goes, why not? I go, I literally said too much to lose. Like as a joke, I'm like too much to lose. I live in Dunedin. Or I live in North Pinellas County, whatever, 25, 30 minutes away from St. Pete. I'm just like, I don't want to pay for $60 Uber there and back. It's just a mess. And then $50, $60 at the bar. Now it's like $200, $150. You know, what am I doing? I don't want to do that. And I had even texted my boyfriend. I go, not drinking tonight. I just want to drive there, drive back, save money. You know, we're going to Denver soon. I'm like, we'll save money. As soon as I texted him that, he texted me back immediately, like within 30 seconds, a link to the Orlando story about the DUI. And I went, he had too much to lose and he gambled and he lost. And it really solidified the rest of the night where I was perfectly okay not drinking, because it was just that reminder of like, look at what can happen, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny that you brought up the Uber thing, because now, I mean, even an Uber for me 20 blocks away is going to be $15 probably, just with the way everything's more expensive now. And everybody goes, you got no excuse. You know, you can take an Uber. And it's like, I mean, yeah, you can. But if you're budgeting, you know, your drinks, your night out, if you have something to eat and then your Uber ride, you know, you're talking a few $100 to go out. I mean, that's partially the reason why I don't really go out anymore. I mean, I have a nice extensive bottle collection at home. I can drink there and have a cigar and have access to a bathroom. And I'm old. I'm almost 40 and I'll be 40 in a few years. So I don't need to go out. I don't need to, you know, it's nice to see girls dressed up like Barbie dolls, especially with the new hit movie out there out in public. But I'm good. I've seen enough of that. And I have Instagram, so I can even look at them on Instagram.
Really? Yeah.
I don't need it anymore. And I have a partner and I have, you know, I don't want to do it. I, much like you, the getting into the crowds and getting bumped into, and I like a good dive bar still, but even that I don't really go to. And I know you don't, it's not your thing at all.
I hate, like, in my mind, when I think dive bar, I think smoky dive bar. And I hate cigarette smoke, and a lot of them you're not even allowed to smoke inside. But even if there's no smoking inside, everyone is smoking. So when they come back in, they just smell like an ashtray.
You know what? I think you know the Emerald that's in downtown St. Pete.
Yes, hate it.
I don't think you could smoke in there anymore.
Yeah, it just looks dirty. You know,
it is
the only
dirty
time I was there, and it was appropriate. I did cocaine, and that was fine. But other than that, I just, that's a place.
Hey, as long as you didn't drive your car, you're good.
No, didn't drive. It was a holiday of some sort. Maybe it was like a Labor Day or a Memorial Day. Nothing better to, you know, commemorate the fallen than doing a bump. But something like that. It was something like that. I was with a friend of ours. I'll just leave it at that. And but it was dirty. It was gross. There was like people there that you were clearly regulars, you know, just obviously regulars.
Well, there's people in there. I never go in there like twice a year, maybe not even that anymore. Those, I know those people, they're there every day.
Right.
It's crazy. They're in there all the time.
I've been in that bar before. Right. But you go and you go, this person, this is their second home. And this is sad. This is a sad place where dreams come to die. Which is fine. You know, I did my bump or two and I was out. But yeah, that place is gross. And it's weird. 'Cause like, I don't really like fancy places either. You know, I just like clean. Like I like being around a clean space. It doesn't have to be super shishy or bougie or anything like that. But I hate the aesthetic of a dive bar, whether they're smoking or not. I don't like the wooden, like whenever like old wood.
Oh, I like that. I don't like that.
Get me out of here. And then it's like you go to the bathroom and it's like the latch is one of those little metal, you know what I'm talking about, with the hoop.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one of those or, you know, this place has been here for like 70 years.
Oh, I like that. I like that aspect of it because especially now the turnaround for St. Petersburg and many other places in the Tampa Bay area. Places are closing down. They're renovating it and making it look new. So I kind of appreciate a place that's been there for a long time. And the
I swear to God, if you call the Emerald historic, I'm gonna
reach to the screen and the Emerald has been around since I've been in St. Pete and way before that. I mean, I don't know when the Emerald opened, but I think it was in like the 70s or 80s. It's been there a long time.
It's gross. But I did come to the realization that I may have, well, I'll ask you, I don't know if this is racist or not. God. So I don't know.
Okay.
I abhor, I think that's the right word, because it's more than detest. It's, I abhor Latin music. It's horrible. It's everything about it I hate. It doesn't like pump me up in a way that like EDM does. It doesn't allow me to relax in a way that like, you know, what did we listen to that you like so much? Lo-fi girl, like something like that, you know, something that's like chilled electronic or whatever. It doesn't make me groove like R&B or hip hop. It's just annoying on every front. And of course, like the people I was with, they were like, let's go to this place called Dirty Laundry. I'd been before and I went, I'm like, don't they play a lot of? And they go, yeah, we do bachata. I'm like, you're white, so you don't have to say it like that. You know, they go, bachata. I'm like, shut up.
I have no idea what that is, but I'm assuming it's a dance.
It's a style of Latin dance.
Okay.
It's bachata, but you know, they were like, bachata. I'm like, shut up, Elizabeth. That's not how we say it. So anyways, everybody wanted to go. So I'm in the market to make friends. So if everybody's down to go, except for me, you bite your lip and you go. You know, I mean, I really don't like country music either. They tried to get me to go to a country bar, but I hate Latin music more. Jesus Christ. And the people there are just, you know, Latin music doesn't really allow for solo dancing when you just kind of want to. And what was nice at Dirty Laundry is every other song, every like maybe third song was like a hip hop or pop song. So you're like, yay, we're dancing. And then as soon as like a Latin song would come on, like all the weirdos come out and they're like, wait, and you're just like,
are you talking about men? No. Are you talking about men trying to dance with you?
Yeah, not just me, but, you know, everybody. They're just, they think, it, you know, it's an opportunity because it's part of the cultural experience is to be groped by a stranger. Another aspect of Latin music I don't really like very much. It's very rapey. So, I was just kind of like bopping along. And then I was like, you know what? I'm the oldest one here. I need a break. I need a breather. So I went outside to the patio and I just saw a sign that said exit and I went, do I do the Irish goodbye? 'Cause that's my favorite move, you know? And I'm like, do I just slip out, text him my left, you know? I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't even say I was drunk. You know, like they knew I wasn't drinking. So I went back inside. At which point my friend was asked to dance by a very large Latin man. And I was staring at her with the intention of making sure she was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you want this? You know, I'm looking at her body language. I'm looking at her face. Is she tensing up? And I guess it appeared on the outside that I was looking at her as if I wish someone would ask me to dance. If only someone would ask me to dance. And so someone was like, you know, my friend's dancing with your friend. I'm dancing with you.
Just kind of grabbed you and brought you out?
Kind of. I was already on the dance floor, but I was just like looking at my friend like.
Yeah.
I guess that look can be interpreted.
Oh, your mic's cutting out.
I wish someone would dance with me. I think that was what people may have interpreted that look to be.
All right.
So in an effort to not appear rude, I obliged.
See, this is the thing with
horrible
with all of the past few years of all the things we've went through as far as, you know, the reckonings, the summer of love that we went through a few years ago, the Me Too movement.
We went through the summer of love. Was I there too?
The summer of love? The summer of love, I'm talking about the George Floyd riots. The summer of love,
of course.
The reckonings that we went through as a country facing the things that were going all wrong, systemic problems in our culture. You know, you would have thought after especially the Me Too movement in this case that you could have said no. Now, I hoped that that was at least a lesson from the Me Too movement, was that if you don't want to do something, just say no. And you don't have to do it. And then a strong person like you, who is not into the classic sense of what it is to be a woman or the prevailing popular stance on what it is to be a woman today, which is, I guess, going to see the Barbie movie and not no boys allowed. You are smarter than that. And you still said yes, even though you didn't want to say, or you did want to say no, you still said yes.
Not about being smart, and it's not about being a woman to me. It's about being like a nice person. When someone takes a risk, I've never asked anyone to dance before. I can't even imagine what that's like to go up to somebody, have the cojones, and be like, all right, I'm gonna talk to a stranger, and I could be publicly denied and embarrassed. And for that person to have enough gall to come up to you and say, hey, do you want to dance? Like, I don't even know how to say, like, I don't even know how to say no nicely, because even if you're like, no, like nothing is nice to say no.
I think what you do is you go, oh, no, thanks. No, thank you.
I know. But it's one of those things where you hesitate and then you have to say something. So I was just like, yeah. But then what happened is now I'm in a relationship, and he was like a very, I'll just describe, he was a very small Asian man. So it's, you know, and it was me and five other jujitsu girls. So like if anything went down, it'd be fine. But he took my hands and like put them on his like body. And I was like, oh, we gotta have some space. We need some space. And then he was politely like dancing near me, and I'm politely dancing near him, and neither one of us are having fun, right? Because he feels weird and I'm like feel weird. So then after about 30 seconds, it was probably like 30 seconds. It felt like 10 minutes, but I just said, I like took his hand and I'm like, thank you so much. I really appreciate the dance. I gotta get going. And I felt like that was nice. That wasn't like, get away from me. You know, I don't want to be the B word. And then I was like, it's actually my time to go. I've been wanting to leave for an hour, and this is a perfect excuse. So I said goodbye to my friends. See you later. And then boom, left. And boy, let me tell you, when I finally got back to my car, cause I had to Uber back to my car because they wanted to go to, you know, some obscure place. it felt, I've never done heroin before, but when you get back to your car after a night that like you didn't even want to go to in the first place, it feels like you just, you took a hit of heroin or something. It felt real good to get back in that hunk of metal and just go straight back to your home. Like, it was awesome.
You know, that's, yeah. And I think that's just, you're just not in that stage of your life anymore. You've kind of moved on to other things. But, you know, I wonder if it has anything to do with just, it's, nothing's fun for anybody anymore. Cause I put myself in your shoes with this dude, and that sucks just for you, and having to be like, I have no interest in this. You know, you have a person anyways, but you wouldn't be interested anyways. And then I'm thinking about that guy's scenario too, because I'm male. I identify as male anyways. And I remember those days of, and I'm a coward. I never was really one of those guys. I don't dance either. I never did that. I wish that I could, because
if you have enough whiskey, I've seen you move.
But I'm not a dancer. Like, I'm not going to go up to a girl and grab her and go start dancing around. That's not my style.
You dance with your bottle.
Yeah, I could do that. And I could talk too. So you can, you know, find a way to be charming. If they have some drinks, that's when they're more open and maybe having a conversation where normally they'd be like, ugh, get away from me. So that was, there were some occasions where that worked out, but it was tough being a man too. And there was a few times, I remember one in particular where there was a woman I saw at a bar, and I'm not, like I said, not one of those dudes to go out and try to talk somebody like cold, but I decided to try it. I had just enough to drink. I was feeling good. And I said, I'm going to kick myself. This could be my future wife for all I know. And I went up to her and just said, hey, how's it going? I don't remember exactly what I said, but, and she just basically went, no, no, nope. And I was like, okay, see you later. This is weird. And I left and I felt so bad. And then I saw her the next day at a rally, and she didn't have her Spanx on or whatever was around during that time. And she had a gut on her, and her makeup was all smeared, hung over, had big glasses on.
You saw her the next day?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, oh, thank God that didn't work out, because it was, I remember her being so much different. And it, I mean, it was dolled up
too.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just not fun. It's not a fun situation to be in. And now it's even worse if you're a guy out there trying to pick up a girl. You can be a creep real quick.
Yeah. And let me tell you this, like, I am not a male. I don't identify as such. I like how we have to we have to, you know, proclaim this. We have to put it on the table. But I did have a male cousin that I was pretty close to growing up. And I remember one time we all went out. He was in San Diego, and this must have been about 12, 13 years ago, something like that. We went in downtown San Diego, and we went to a club. And I remember he asked a girl to dance. I saw like some commotion, and then he just like came back, and his, you know, his posture was like all hunched over. He just felt terrible. Oh, what happened? He goes, like, she was really mean. Like, she was, I asked her to dance, and she's just like, ew, no, like, get away from me. And I'm like, that's horrible. Like, I can't believe someone said that to you. He's like, yeah, like, and he wasn't like, it happens all the time, but he's like, that's the sort of stuff that you run into, you know, like, get away from, no, don't get away from me. So that,
but
that
I get,
experience,
I honestly,
I was hammered.
Honestly, I get that. Though too, from putting myself in a lady's shoes, if they're getting, you know, if they look particularly good that night, and men are just like, hey, what's up? And you're just like,
I know, but enough. I think it was, you know, knowing my cousin and how like he's such a good spirited, good hearted man. Like, and that means a lot coming from me, because most people are trash. So he really does have like a good heart. And he means well. And to know that person and to know that he was treated so poorly by someone who didn't know him. And granted, like, I'm not saying she had to dance with him or, you know, like make out with him or anything like that, but just to how rude she was, like, really affected me to hear her, someone be so rude to, you know, my cousin, who's such a good person. So I think I took mental note after that moment. And I just wanted to always be like really kind to people, especially men, because it's hard. It's really, really hard. And I know and I talk about this a lot because I like, you know, hearing, I'm friends with a lot of men and I hear about their gripes and the things that they have to deal with, their challenges. And I listen to a lot of red pill stuff. And it's hard for a lot of guys. Like, I can't even imagine what it would be like to see someone you're attracted to and then feel like, okay, I have to get enough courage to go approach them in public and they may publicly humiliate me. And then they forget about you 5 minutes later, but you never forget about that moment like years later. So I keep that in mind. They're people too. And even if I'm not attracted to them, like, I don't want to hurt any feelings or add to a complex and or make them feel insecure. Like, and I have such a respect for people who are trying. If I see a person who's 300 pounds, you know, a chick, she's, you know, 5'6", 300 pounds at the gym, I'm like, good for you. Like, that's really hard that you're here for so many reasons, whether it be physical, emotional, like your anxiety. That's really hard to do something when you're out of shape or if you're not the best looking guy or whatever. So I keep that in mind when someone comes up to me and takes a risk. I don't want to just like shoot them down because I'm like, I'm not attracted to you. Like, I'll put on a smile for a few minutes to, you know, just be kind. I think, I don't know. Yeah, I think that goes a long way.
I wonder if that though is, you know, there's different degrees and different levels of, how do I put this? Like attractiveness, like being appealing to the masses. I know that we're in a society now where beauty doesn't exist and it's all social construct and it's not real, but that's clearly nonsense. There are people who are better looking, and maybe sometimes people have complained about being too good looking, that people won't approach them because they just assume that they'll have no shot. Maybe there's something to that, but maybe there's like a level, like if you're in that like 8 out of 10 range.
Probably more 6-7s.
Potentially more 6-7s.
5 is average. Like 5 is like, okay. But like 6 is better than average. 7 is way better than average. Like 8 is almost a model. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, maybe you're right. Like, there's a certain level of people that probably just, and I guess it's one of those things where they're attractive enough, they're above average, but also they don't seem unattainable. So maybe men are like, I can do this. Like, this one I can possibly get. And then they are like pounced upon, you know, with people, hey, what's up, guy, buy you a drink, that type of thing. And they're just like, enough. Okay. No, I don't have time to placate you. I don't have time to be like, hi, how are you? And talk to you. I'm on the clock here, you know, quite literally, if they are trying to meet somebody or they're trying to hang out with their friends and they just don't want,
a lot of people, guys think that that's a green light.
So. Sure. And it is a green light to a certain degree. So yeah, you don't want to be mean either. I think the thing to do if you're a chick and you want to let a guy down easy is be like, not interested, but thank you. Or something. I don't know. That sounds condescending too. And maybe it is.
No, thank you. You don't even have to say I'm not like, oh, no, thanks.
I think you should be like, no, I'm not interested. Thank you. Because that really sinks it. Now, some guys are going to be like, that's a challenge. I'm going to keep going. And that's when I feel like you are entitled to be like, hey, no, enough. Leave me alone.
I mean, if you're approached a few times after you say no, then certainly. But just initially, like if someone asks you and your response is disgust. You know, like that's what happened to my cousin. It was like rude. And also like, it was like, she was disgusted and he's not an ugly guy, but he's like a little bit shorter or whatever. But she was just like, no, ew, like, no, like, you know? I'm just like, oh my God, that's horrible.
It does.
So you know, maybe that says more about me that, you know, clearly maybe I'm not the best looking person that I'm like, why aren't people nicer? You gotta be nice. But you know, maybe people who are, like you said, are getting approached all the time. They don't have the time and their budget. So,
it's just no fun. I think for anybody now there was always things about the situation that were, pros and cons. And I feel like now everybody's just on the, it's not fun for anybody anymore within the past.
What do you mean, life or like dating or clubbing or?
Well, maybe life, that's maybe a little bit too far, but. Especially situations like that, where you're trying to go out and meet somebody in the real world that people don't do anymore. That's not really a thing. And probably, I'm sure a lot of people are just like, we have apps for this. Like, don't talk to me.
Yeah. I will tell you though that like it was a weird experience to return to a scene that like was so that immediately when I walked into the first club and it was like packed, it was like it was so familiar but so foreign. And I'm not trying to get all like deep and, you know, prophetic about going out and clubbing, but it is interesting because it's such it's such a strange form of like reality, because you're not who you are when in your day-to-day life. You get embarrassed when you see people from work. Oftentimes you see someone from work and you're used to your corporate sales job, and then you see them out and they're like, initially, if anybody is not totally wasted, you're like, or even if you are, you're like, it's like they're naked or something. So going out was such a huge part of my life and something that I loved so much. I loved the, you know, obviously the music aspect of it, getting drunk, but also just the fact of like, especially if you have a little bit of the gift of gab like you do and I do, and not that that helps so much as a chick, but a little bit. It was really fun to like be drunk and like interact with strangers and say like, profane things and just kind of like try to flirt, or, you know, it's like flexing certain muscles in my brain a little bit. My dilapidated brain riddled from alcohol, but.
Do you think that's atrophied now? Do you think that you're not as good? Or you, I mean, I know you're probably just not interested in it anymore, but.
Not interested. I feel like I was surprised at how I didn't feel as out of place. I've been out before where I'm like, wow, I'm old. Most people were a bit younger than me, but I didn't feel like I stood out. Like there were some people where I went to a bar and I'm like, that person is 55, a 55 year old woman. She is visibly standing out. I didn't feel like that.
Yeah.
But I also, you know, you look around and you go, okay, like that I used to wear stuff like that. I don't anymore because it hurts my feet and I feel like I'll fall out of something, and it's clearly not a comfortable dress, but you know, you look great in it. Sort of a thing. So it's a world I'm so familiar with, but it in a lot of ways it's like so foreign now because I really haven't been to clubs since COVID. And I think that was really a intersectionality between COVID, age, and then getting into a relationship. And so those three things combined, I was just like, why would I go out? But was really happy with the fact that I didn't drink. Mostly for the money, because I saved a lot of money, yeah, but also because I, you know, didn't have to worry about like, oh my God, you know, there's cops everywhere in downtown St. Petersburg and they're just looking for people to pull over. And so to confidently, even if I did get pulled over, like blow and know that it was going to be 000, I felt really good about that. And certainly with the Orlando Davis story in my pocket that I read when I was outside, I'm like, oh, he hit somebody? Like, because at first I just saw the headline, but I didn't know he hit somebody. I'm like, I'm really glad I'm not drinking tonight. So.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's, I took my dad to lunch on, I asked you if your brain feels like it's atrophied with social settings, you know, especially with, you know, the opposite sex, maybe, you know, you have somebody, you're with a partner, you're just not interested in going out anymore. But I took my dad out because it was his birthday, 65 years old.
Happy Timbo. Birthday, Tim.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, this past Monday, and, I texted him, I just passed my test and I was like, hey, let me take you to lunch. You know, you got time for some lunch. And he's like, yeah, yeah, that sounds good. I go, okay, cool. Where do you want to go? And he goes, well, you tell me. I go, no, it's your birthday. Tell me where you want to go. And he goes, how about here? And it's a little place called Hooters. I love Hooters. That's great. But I watched this man, and he was a legend. I'll tell you this story in a second. But he was just in his element there. And I feel like it was some sort of exercise for his brain to talk to these girls, this waitress, and they're very pleasant, you know. But my thing is, I know you might be nice. It's possible that you are nice, but you're also at work. So that's why I can't really get into like the strip clubs of like breaking down that facade, because it's like, I know you'd want no part of me. So even if you're really nice to me and acting like you like me, you also want me to give you money. And to a lesser degree, this waitress is too. So I just kind of go, yeah, thank you. You know, I'm polite and everything. But he has like conversations, chit chats. And he used to go to another competing restaurant called Wing House a lot with his workmates on Friday. So much so that, and whenever I went there with them, he would, all the girls, oh, Tim's here. And I'm like, dude, you need to like set me, hook me up. I'm you, but better. Like set me up with these chicks like you. And I felt like it was real too, but it's just exercising his brain. He knows that they don't want any part of him, but he likes to chit chat them up and he likes to talk to pretty girls or whatever. And I remember one time going to, we did something. He goes, you want to go get something to eat somewhere? I'm like, yeah, sure. And I go, where? He goes, let's go to Wing House. I'm like, all right. So we start heading to his Wing House and, he's driving along and he goes, oh, I go, what? He says, I gotta call his wife, his current wife. And I go, okay. And he calls her. He goes, yeah, we're going to go to Wing House. You want to come along? Yes. Okay, cool. We'll see you there. And I see him and he makes a U-turn. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I can't go to that Wing House. not if she's coming. So he went to a different Wing House so none of the girls would recognize him. And want to talk to him.
This is not this time. This time he went to Hooters. You're saying this is a story of...
This is long ago, but that was his... To keep his brain sharp, you know, and have his brain not atrophy with talking to pretty girls in this case. So that's why I was asking, do you think that your skills have diminished? Like, my dad's got Wing House where you can kind of do this and keep that sharp of chit-chat.
I think they're better. Now...
Better.
Yes. Not, here's the thing. I don't practice flirting. I've never been good at flirting. So let's get that out of the way. I've always been very intrigued and not curious. That I think that like bimbos or girls who are really feminine and flirtatious are like, I envy them or anything, but I will say like, I admire that those qualities, because that is not me. I don't have a single bone in my body where I'm like the girl that's like, oh my God, how's it going? And there's a certain like level of power that those girls have over men that like I never was able to have, not necessarily because they were like the hottest girls, but just the femininity and like the, oh my God, like, and the guys like liking that attention. And I was, you know, I was the one that was like, I think I left something downstairs. And like, you know, like right. That's what I would do at bars because I didn't know how to be like feminine flirtatious, so I would just be silly. Like that was my thing. Like that, me flirting was me being silly, essentially. But now I think I'm even better, and not that I have any data to back it up, but I think when you're less invested and you care less, you're instantly better because the stakes. There's no stakes. I don't care. Like if a guy came talk to me or like is talking to the group, and I'm just like shooting the. Well, I don't care if he rejects me or if he likes me or doesn't like me, like I'm taken. There's nothing there. And also just the fact that like radio, like being in radio, especially working like with Bubba and learning how to work and making jokes and like all that comes into play when you're in any social situation, just to kind of like win over a group or make someone like you or say something funny. Like you have great comedic timing. Like I have pretty good comedic timing. You know, in a group where you can make a joke, something topical. So I think just with age, I become better as I get age and get uglier. So that's a little bit ironic, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think that's what Wing House is for my 65-year-old father, where he goes, you know, these girls, he's kind of renting their time, but he gets to keep that part of his brain moving where he's just not using it anymore because he's been married for many years. So it's not like he has to go and
be a brain thing, or it's just nice to be in the presence of like young, attractive women.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you know that they don't want anything to do with you and you're giving them tips, but it's like this, everybody benefits. You get to be around them and just be near them and talk to them, and they make money. So like everybody's happy and that's fine. You know, he's not touching him. He's not, hopefully, not doing anything wrong.
He's not. Nope. Right, I don't even think he has any interest to do that. Even if she was like, hey, you want to go do it in the bathroom? My dad would probably be like, I don't think so. Young lady, thank you. But
yeah.
No.
Yeah, no. Sometimes you just want a little bit of attention from an attractive person, and that's okay.
True that. You're right. We got to go, Anna. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. Join us on the live streams. WillsYouTube.com. WillsYouTube.com. Check us out on podcast as well. HMB Radio. One word. Get the podcast. Give it 5 stars. Tell a friend about it. And we'll talk to you soon. For Anna Hummel, my name's Will Koontz. Catch me on the bone on the Johnny B Show 102.5 Monday through Friday. You can hear Anna on the Bubble Love Sponge Show. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.